Are you now ready to receive what God has for you? Bishop, a year ago you asked me to host the Art of Shepherding Conference. And by the grace of God, and with your wonderful children, sons and daughters here in Adenta, we've tried to put up an Art of Shepherding Conference, our first here at the Bread of Life Cathedral. It's been a very powerful week with Bishop Eddie Adi, Bishop Ntefo, Bishop Prince, and myself. And I believe that all the pastors from Lighthouse and who are also outside Lighthouse have been immensely blessed by the teachings that have gone on here at the Art of Shepherding Conference. But for many of you, tonight is the first time you are both seeing and hearing my shepherd, my pastor. Tonight we are about to receive the ministry of the man who close to 25 years ago appointed me a pastor and put me in charge of a branch. But the best of it all is that the journey till today has been one of good shepherding, loving, caring, and ensuring that I've stayed on the path that has brought us here. And I want to say a big thank you to Bishop for your shepherdorial instincts. This week, we have quoted from you, refer to the many things you've said, refer to the things you've done, and we've also opened the books you've written and taught from them. But we are happy to know that the one who wrote the books we have taught from is here himself to minister the word of God to us. Pastors, church workers, please join me to welcome my daddy, my pastor, to minister to us tonight, Bishop Doug Ewart Mills.
Oh, I see the light, the Lord is good. Oh, I see the light. Oh, I see the light, the Lord is good. For you and me, so we can see. Oh, I see the light, the Lord is good. I see the light. Oh, I see the light. The Lord is given for you and me, so we can see. Oh,
wow. I see the light. Thank you very much. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessing of today as we come before your mighty, precious, holy word. We are grateful. Speak into our hearts in these few moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you, Bishop Ogo, for this wonderful opportunity to be here in your beautiful cathedral. And I acknowledge all the wonderful bishops, Bishop Saki, Bishop Eddie, Bishop Sam, and all the other powerful pastors and bishops I see here, many of them. God bless you. It's a blessing to see all of you here and all other pastors. This evening, my message is short. I believe you are supposed to be closing around 8 o'clock. So, I want to just share a very short message. But I believe that if you listen carefully to what I'm going to share with you, you are going to find that it's going to help to guide you in your quest to be a good shepherd. Amen. Now, this conference is being held for a reason. You can find in Psalm 92. Psalm 92. God brought you here to change your oil. Hallelujah. Your engine is going to run at a higher level. As soon as we say amen, you are on a new level. So, Psalm 92 verse 10, it says, "But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." So God has brought you here for a change of oil. Your oil is changing as I speak. Amen. Now, when your oil is changed, the next verse says, "My eye shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me." What it means is that your eye will see judgment on your enemies, and your ears will hear about the judgment on your enemies. Now, who are your enemies? Because of the anointing, your enemies are destroyed. But who are the enemies? The enemies are demons working against you in different ways. Many times we are unaware of the presence of devils. The Bible says Jesus Christ was crucified by devils. If they had known, they wouldn't have crucified the Son of God. But who crucified him? He was crucified in reality by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Romans. They were the devils who were crucifying Jesus. And throughout his ministry, he suffered opposition, antagonism, hatred, intimidation, threatenings from these people. So throughout your life and ministry, he says, if the princes of this world knew. That word princes is the same word in Ephesians 6, 10, that we wrestle not against principalities and powers. That's the princes. It here they use prince, but in Ephesians they use principalities. It's a type of demon spirit. So if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, the devils. But who physically did it? It was these guys. So the opposition you are experiencing in your life and your ministry from devils, which operate through people and through circumstances, God is giving you the upper hand in this conference. Expect to hear and see from devils through people, Christians, non-Christians alike, and then also from circumstances. These are the three groups you can hear or see devils, for which he says your eye will see the desire on your enemy, and your ear will hear your desire. It's people, human beings. Jesus said, I chose you, one of you is a devil. You know that verse, we wrestle not against principalities and powers, we're not against flesh and blood. It has made Christians take their attention from human beings who operate as devils. It's in place of a devil, that's the devil. In fact, there are some people, if they take them out of your life, there's no need of the devil again in anything in your life. If they are out of your life, there is no need of the devil. There is no scripture that applies when you say devil. Once that particular person is gone, that's it. All the scriptures on devil don't apply to you because it's gone. It's true. Jesus said, I chose you. One of you is a devil, a human being. Are you there? You see, Kenneth Hagin had a vision, and in the vision, he was in a pastor's house, and this pastor was divorced, and suddenly Jesus appeared to him in the vision. He said to the pastor, let us pray. And as soon as he said, let us pray, he knelt down and he entered into the vision. And here was Jesus. And Jesus told him about the man who was he was praying with. And told him that the man's former wife had come to town to disgrace him. And to embarrass him. And harass him. So, Jesus told him in the vision. He said two things. He said to him, tell my friend. No, and Papa Hagin said in the vision, Jesus called this divorced pastor his friend. He said, tell my friend, that after the vision, tell him. And the second thing he said was that anytime a pastor or a servant of God is attacked, intimidated, harassed, accused, and so on, you don't need a vision to know that it is a demon that is antagonizing the person. He says you don't need a word of knowledge. It is. Yes. Are you listening? So Jesus is actually present with us when we are having meetings. And demons are present also, opposing you. You know, anything that makes you go slower and makes your progress slow. Often there are demonic things in it. You know, sometimes you cannot find your key or something at a particular point. If you like, I'll give you an experiment. Bind the devil. Say, Satan, I bind you. You'll find it just now. You'll be surprised. It has happened to me many times. So, there are many things in when Jesus was casting out the devil from the madman. He said, what is your name? He said, my name is Legion, which is 6,100 foot soldiers and 726 horsemen in one person. So what it means is that we don't need much space for a demon. You don't need much physical space to have a demon. It doesn't take much space. 6,100 and 726 horsemen or chariots and horsemen in one person. And there are spiritual horses. You know, a horse is very big. The there are the horses that came and the chariots that came from for Elijah. They were spiritual horses. They couldn't have been natural horses because natural horses don't go up in the air. So you can be in your house and in your church, in your life, financially, physically, spiritually, and there are spirits, I tell you, working against you. Yes. And you will think that it's something natural. But many of these things are demonic. And there are present evil spirits. So God is showing you today that through a change of oil, you will see the desire with your eyes. With your eyes. With your ears. You hear about it. In Jesus' name. And then the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Through the anointing. You know, I often encourage people, of all the books I've written, I always encourage people to believe in the anointing, to study the book Steps to the Anointing and Catching the Anointing. Because with the anointing, the impossible comes to. It says, you shall flourish like a palm tree. You see, a palm tree is the only tree that is growing in the salted ground where nothing is growing. He is growing. Where things are not working, he is working. Where nothing is happening, he is the only one. That is your story from today. Have you not been to the beach before? Which type of tree is growing there? Yeah. So when God's anointing is on you, demons and demonic powers, no, they naturally give up. They give in. They give in. That is why when Jesus met the madman of Gadara, he ran to Jesus and bowed. Because the power of God causes the demons to recognize you and bow to you. And you are going to grow like a palm tree. You are going to grow like a palm tree. What is Ghana? What is Ghana? Ghana is one of the poorest countries in the world, led by some of the poorest, fatally deficient type of leaders ever to be walking on the surface of the earth. Yes, you may not know. Shh. It's not easy to prosper here. Maybe you have not done business before. It's not easy. Business doesn't mean you belong to a political party, so you join them, then you get contracts, and then you sell things that nobody needs to the people who don't need what you are selling. Like maybe you sell fire engines where there is no fire, or parts to people who don't need parts. That's not business. It's a salted ground. But when the anointing is on you, that's the place that you will do well. Receive that grace in your life in the name of Jesus. And he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I belong to God. And I belong to the church. I'm planted in the church. All my life is the church. I don't do anything for business or anything for politics. You know, Rick Joyner had a vision, and the Lord appeared to him and told him that So he met these guys who had died. Actually, it was not the Lord, it was the pastors who had died. Everybody should get the book, The Final Quest, and read the chapter on the white throne. It's chapter 3. You see pastors, dead pastors, talking. Hey, and one of them said, anytime you do something for politics, it demotes you further in the kingdom. Yes. Instead of the kingdom, you are doing it for political gain. It demotes you further in the kingdom. You can go and read it. Amazing. So, instead of doing things for so many reasons, not for politics, for God, planted in the church, belonging to the church. My books are for the church. My writings are for Christians and church people, God's people. My most of my books are for pastors and serious Christians. Yeah, it's not for money. If it was for money, I want more people to buy, but I don't care if people buy. I'm probably one of the largest authors ever in Ghana or in Africa even, but I'm not doing it for money. Yeah. So when you are planted in the church, you see, people think the church is nothing. The church is powerful. People who were powerful just 2 months ago, you can't see them. You can't see them. Church is still here. Church is here. It's true. I belong to the church. And I belong to God. How many belong to God? How many belong to the church? You are blessed. And verse 14. This is the blessing of the anointing. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. Now, when I look around, I'm seeing older people than I used to see some years ago. Many of you here, you are no longer as young as you used to be. True or not true? You can see from your waistline. But when you are anointed, even in old age, you bring forth a lot of fruits. Hallelujah. And you know something? John Wesley, when he was about 60 something years old, the founder of the Methodist Church, he said, 60, 70, he said, the pains I used to have when I was a young man, I'm no more having them. He said, I can now do more things than I even used to do before. At the age of about 77, he wake up at 4 a.m. and ride his horse from Bristol, inside England somewhere, for 100 miles. And he gets near London, and he gets off the horse, sleeps, and gets up at 4 a.m. to ride his horse to reach London by 8 o'clock for service. Then he preaches. 70-something, oh. You are 40-something. You are 50-something. This is John Wesley. And then he has his service at 8 o'clock and then has an open-air service in the afternoon of the same day. After riding from Bristol or wherever it was. Yes. So when you are anointed, you bear fruit in your old age. You don't retire. You rather become more fruitful. I met Bonke last year in September, and he told me, he's 76 years old. He told me that some years ago, there was a German man, an older man, who came to work in his crusade for free of charge. And he was very busy moving up and down. So one day he called the man, he said, why do you do this? Why are you always here? You come always work. came in the crusade, the man said, I have decided that I will not die in front of a television. Yes, I will not die in front of a television. I'm going to work. I'm not going to stay in the house. I've retired. This is not time for retirement. Watching television. So those of us who have become pot-belly slow pastors, just using titles to push your way around, bishop, pope, archbishop, cardinal, reverend doctor, you are just using your big stomach and your weight, but no anointing. No. Fred Price, have you heard of Fred Price? He said he cannot receive from a pastor who is overweight. If you are overweight, he cannot receive the message. Like what you are preaching, he cannot enter him. Check your neighbor and see whether he's overweight. Hallelujah. They shall be flat and fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen. Now, when you receive this anointing, right, it is going to give you great wisdom. Now, the second and the final last part of my very short message, I told you, is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. These are the determinants of every shepherd's ministry. The determinants of every shepherd's ministry. What determines the outcome of anyone who is a shepherd? He says in verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But chance happeneth, time and chance happeneth to them all. So, these are the things that determine. You see, he said, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race of ministry, because it's a race. One day some of us will be in heaven, we'll be sitting down in heaven like this, thinking of earth, of Ghana. You'll be thinking of Ghana. Hey! What was I thinking about? I want to go back. You'll be sitting thinking, the whole time you'll be thinking in heaven, Lord, what I could have done, I didn't do. So it's a big race. And you see that this race, he says, I saw that the race is not just, because usually, any race is determined by these things. Every contest. Speed, your swift, strong, bread to the wise, men of understanding, favor, but at the end, time and chance, which is where in our life, it's not time and chance, but it's God and the anointing that determines it. So every shepherd's life and ministry is determined, actually, because it's a race, by these things. And so, the first one is, this is the verse we've closed. Look at it. The race is not to the swift speed. Wow. Your whole ministry is determined by your speed. Your speed in understanding things, your speed in acting. You see, there are many things that are being taught here. Some will take them
they will not even be quick about implementing. No race has ever been won by someone who is slow, whether boxing, car, bicycle, athletics, long jump, even soccer. When they scored Ghana, Cameroon, the second goal against Cameroon versus Ghana, the second goal. I don't know if you watched the match. I normally don't watch it, but I just happened to be there. I saw the last 15 minutes. They were leading us by 1-0. Then Ghana was pressing. Then somebody brought the ball out. And then it was a race to our goalpost. And the Cameroonian guy was faster than our guy. Yes, he was faster. So even in soccer, it's about speed. In fact, I once knew a young man who was in Achimota school, and he was a 100 meters runner, and he was a soccer player as well, but he was a champion, 100 meters, 200 meters. So I asked, what is the connection? Why is a soccer, why is a runner? He said, oh, there's speed. There's a lot of things are speed in soccer playing. So his 100 meter speed is very important in the soccer, and I saw it in this match. It was about speed. So you are here. If I had not been fast to enter ministry when I was 25 years old to be a pastor, do you think if I come now at the age of 50, whatever, I'm coming to say, hey, you know, God has called me, and I'm a surgeon from Minnesota, and I do whatever, heart bypass and so on, but I've always had the call of God in my life and so on. It's too late. It's too late. When you hear things, it's about the speed with which you implement things. Speed. Man, when God speaks to me, you would think that I don't think. If you are with me, you may think I don't have my mind. Like, how can I just decide something just like that? No. Because I've prayed before I move. I say, Lord, guide me. Lead me by your paths. When it occurs to me, Lord, yesterday something occurred to me, said, let this person go here. Let this person go here. That was it. I called the person immediately. I said, you have to leave. That's why you are not achieving much in ministry. Everything about you is slow. Slowy. Slowy. Shall we change your name to Slowy? Slow. Everything slow. Look at Donald Trump. Since he came into power, all the things he said he would do, we are hearing that he's doing all from day one. Even before he started doing all. Others are celebrating Ghana at 60, Ghana at 70, and whatever. It's fantastic. With 20 million cities, a country which says we don't have money, that's $5 million. It's beautiful. The speed of implementing, that's why people come into power when it's 4 years, they say we need a second term. If you are serious and you are fast, within your first term, all the things you say, you finish. So you too, I say, that's why we will get to heaven. People will be sitting down looking to the sky and say, I was too slow. That will be one of your main things, you were too slow. Speed is needed when you are serving God. Speed. He said, I look and I saw that the race is not to the swift. Every race is to the swift. But on some occasions, the first one doesn't win. And that's where he says time and chance happens to them. But normally, it is by speed. So, you have to rise up and be faster. And I want to say that we have two types of temperament. We have choleric, phlegmatics. Phlegmatics are slow. If you go to France, there's a statue I once saw, a man standing there with a tortoise at the bottom. It was Sigmund Freud who came up with these personality types. You know, years ago, 400, 500 years ago, they came up and they defined human beings. That human beings are a type of, the types of human beings. And some are like the tortoise. They use the liquids in the body to describe them. So sanguine is blood. So you are like blood, you flow like blood. Phlegmatic is like phlegm. You see, when you spit it, it doesn't move. That's the phlegmatic. You have to push it, it won't move. And then what else? Choleric is bile. The bile. You know, when you kill a chicken, the bile, the best acidic tongues, and they speak in an acidic way. Sharp. And then melancholic. Black bile. Yes. It's dark. Yeah. So the human personalities are like that. And many pastors are phlegmatic. There are some of my lay pastors, they should have been in full-time ministry. But phlegmatic, slow. Every day, when they hear the people say, Charlie, it's true. It's true. And they will never move. They never move. When I was going into the ministry, I told Bishop Bishop Saki, we discussed. There's no thinking much. What is law? Hey, God will take care of us. God will take care of us. And we were in. We were in. Whatever happened, which school will your child? I don't know. You know something? I just want to work for God. And I want to work for God now. Speak. Speak. All right? So, it's what determines your life. Those of you in Bible school, different things. It is you'll finish your school, and you are going to have cocktail party celebration to celebrate 4 years since you left Anakazo, 5 years since you left Anakazo. Anakazo at 8 years after Anakazo, celebration of this anniversary of that, funerals, going for funerals, attending whatever alumni funeral. This, how can you move forward? How can you achieve anything? You cannot achieve anything with that type of pace. Me, I don't belong to any party. No, this type of whatever. Any Christian you see very committed to a political party is not mature. He's not mature. That's why he's dying for something that you cannot defend. Oh. The next one is strength. Your ministry shepherd, as a shepherd, depends on strength. Look, if you like, read through the Bible. God said through Ephesians 6, he said, be strong. He told Joshua, only be strong. If you are not strong, you cannot be a good shepherd. You know, you think that, a good shepherd, that you are very kind to people, very nice, smart. You can ask the people that I'm a shepherd of. You can say that I'm not kind, I'm not nice, but I'm strong about it. And people don't know that I'm strong, because when I look at my bed, I don't look strong to you, but I'm strong. If I was not strong, I cannot do the things I'm doing. I cannot walk out of the Kodesh and say, hey, I'm going to do crusade. Look after the church, I shall be back after 10 years. If I'm not strong, I cannot ask Bishop Saki, go to whatever that place is called, or Bishop Eddie, go to another place. Move! You see, one day there was a certain church, I don't want to mention the name, the associate pastor, they were very big, like two Goliaths in the church. And one day, the pastor asked them to do exactly this, go here, you go here, we all. And I met one of these pastors, and he told me, he said, That word transfer. That word transfer. That word should be used on me. It was very big.
Goliath.
So, if you are not strong, you cannot lead. You cannot be a shepherd of a church. A church is just like a country. In our church, we have different people. Our church, we have every tribe represented. We have every party strongly represented in each side. We have this group that I'm speaking. NDC people are here. Trust. You are shocked that you've lost election. NPP people too are also here. You are happy that you've won election. And you are surprised that all you are doing is attending funerals and celebrating Ghana's sister and so on. You are shocked. Yes. So, if I'm not strong, you go, you come, you stay here, you be here. But what about if people say, what about this? One day I took a decision to build some branches instead of building the Kodesh. And one of our top supporters of the ministry resigned. He said, no, I don't think that's the right thing you should do. So, you don't think it's the right thing you should do? And because of that, you are going, this is the door. This is the door. No matter the money that you've been bringing and whatever. But you see, even in politics, they cannot say we are doing this or this or that. It's dictated. So pastors, you have to be strong. Some of you, you have to sack orangus from your church. You are counseling orangus instead of sacking them. You are counseling wicked people who are determined to be against you instead of sacking them from the church. You are not strong. You are not strong. And that's why you will not do well. That's why you will not do well. Because the race is for people who are fast and people who are strong. And then number three, people who are wise. Bread is for the wise. Wise people have bread to eat. Wisdom. Why wisdom? Because wisdom is the principal thing, not money. Money is not the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal, and wisdom has money, wealth, and riches in the right hand, and left hand, long life and health. So you need money which has wealth and riches. You need wisdom which has wealth and riches. Length of days in her right hand, left hand, riches and honor. So it's not riches you need, but wisdom which has a right hand and a left hand. Ghana's problems are not going to be solved by money, because there will never be enough money. Nobody is ever going to come and get enough money. There's no money. We need wisdom, not money. Wisdom, not money. A new way of doing things. A way, but not man, not alone. A way. So you two in your church, don't think of money. If I have money like Lighthouse, hey, Bishop Dad, where is the money? But you can't even point to even one person around me who is rich, who has a lot of. Show me. You never see me working with businessmen. I don't even know them. One of them says, oh, you are in the church. Oh, wow. My friends and my associates are pastors. There'll be a lot of pastors who say, oh, you are going to this businessman, rich man. So you will not even see. I don't believe that money is the key to what I'm doing. Money is not the key. Wisdom is the key. Bible says wisdom has in the left hand riches, right hand length of days. So bread is for the wise. Through wisdom, your business will change. Hallelujah. Through wisdom, your church will change. that, why do you think we sit down and we share all these books? How can you do mighty work? Mark chapter 6, they said about Jesus, what wisdom is this? What type of wisdom is it that such mighty works are done by his hand? Mighty works are always a result of wisdom. How wisdom is how you think, how Ghanaians think, and how our governments think. Do you see? It's what leads to the poverty. It's not money, but how we think and how we take decisions. It's not my culture to go and spend 1 week at a funeral. I don't accept that culture. Even though I'm a Ghanaian, I don't accept that culture. It's not my culture. And I won't do it. It's not my culture to celebrate things that... have you seen it in the church? Anniversary, Lighthouse Chapel, anniversary. That's the reason.
Yeah.
I'd rather take money to be building churches.
Yeah.
And doing things. But it's the way we think, not about getting money. As for money, it's floating all over. Can't you see Lebanese, Chinese, Indian? They are all in Ghana collecting money. They are so happy to be here. There is so much money available here. It's how we are thinking, not about getting money from anywhere. So, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, what wisdom is this, that such mighty works, do you want to do mighty works? Then you need wisdom from God. Wisdom. That is why we offer you these books. That's why I printed them. What wisdom is this? It's books, and you see pastors passing by. So you don't want to read it. You don't want to read it, but you want it. He won mighty word, but I don't want to read it. Jesus said, woe to you Pharisees, Luke 11:52. You have lawyers, you have taken away the key of knowledge. Key, it's a key. It's a key, it's a kingdom with doors. And the key is knowledge. The key of knowledge, the key of knowledge is the key that, not the key of money. How you are thinking is the issue. I tell you, you may not want to accept it. So your shepherding depends on your speed, depends on the strength of a shepherd. Number three, it depends on the wisdom. Then number four, it depends on understanding. It says, not yet riches to men of understanding. What is understanding? Understanding is deeper than the knowledge. For instance, a nurse and a doctor, they all study anatomy, physiology, or internal medicine, and even surgery. Anybody who is a nurse here can own up. Own up. Nurse, own up. Nurses. Okay, no, I will not even mind you. I know what I'm saying is true. Nurses study anatomy. Is it true or not true? True. They study physiology. They study medicine. They study surgery. But if you are having a heart surgery, would you like a nurse to operate on you? But they study surgery. Why don't you want them to operate on you? Because even though they study up to a point. They don't have a certain extensive understanding of the subject. I'm telling you. You don't. It's all, you see that we've all read a book, but somebody understands it deeper. That's why reading never ends. Studying and listening to messages never ends. One day I was listening to a man of God not so long ago, and I was asking myself, why doesn't the whole world listen to this man preaching? Oh yes, I was asking myself, why doesn't the whole man? The man is deep. The man is deep. It's not just one little sentence that he knows. What I'm sharing with you, it's not just this one that I know. If I want to take my time and enter into the topic of speed, we will not finish. Or enter the topic of strength, we will not finish. If I want to go into understanding, we will not live here now. Or wisdom. I'm giving you headlines. I know and understand far more than the small one that I'm sharing. But that is what many of us are not, men of understanding. That's why you are not rich. It says riches are to men of understanding. So it's doctors who become rich, not nurses. Because those who know more and understand deeply, they are the ones who become rich. Would you like your air hostess to fly you on the plane? So, oh, ladies and gentlemen, the pilots are dead. I've taken over the plane. This is your stewardess. I was just serving you coffee. I'm now flying this plane. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. This is my first time, but you'll be okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I've served the pilots many times. So I know some of the buttons that they press. Would you like to be on that plane? You say, ah, please. Wow. So you have to deepen your understanding. Many times I have students from the Bible school, when they finish Bible school, they feel that they know. When they go, they find out that they actually think because they did an exam in a topic, they know it. They don't know. They don't know much. Even doctors, when you finish medical school, you think you don't know much. It is go and see medicine being practiced in real life, then you see that you don't know much. Yes. And finally, favor. What is favor? Favor is to be chosen. Why don't people choose your church? Why don't people choose to read your book? Why don't people choose to listen to your podcast? Why don't people choose to buy your message? Why don't people listen to your music? Favor makes you choose. It says, oh, the Lord give you favor. It means the Lord, may they choose you. Amen. She was favored, highly favored. She's always chosen, always selected. So favor always means to be chosen. So the people who are chosen are people of skill. So your shepherding skills, which we have in the book, The Art of Shepherding, what it means to be a shepherd. What it means to be a shepherd. Take it from me. What it means to be a shepherd. The skill of handling people. The skill of shepherding. The skill of preaching. That's what makes people choose you. Favor is to men of skill. Look at it. Riches are to people who have understanding. So the doctors get more money. The pilots get more than the air hostess. They have skill, a certain skill. They have a certain understanding which an air hostess doesn't have. Wisdom. Those who wear uniform and those who don't wear uniform. Those who don't wear uniform at work, they have more wisdom or more education. They get more. It says bread to wise. So bread, wisdom is just for bread. Then after that, understanding, deeper knowledge, whether pilot, medical, ministry, deeper understanding gives you riches. Those are the people who are rich. Then skill makes people choose you. Michael Jackson, his dancing make people choose to buy his album, choose to listen to him, any skillful singer, people want to listen to, because the person is skillful. You have the skill, not wisdom or knowledge, but the art, the skill of singing, of preaching, of writing, of whatever you are doing, leading, soccer. Why do we watch Asamoah Gyan and Abedi Ayew and all those guys? Why do we watch them? Their skill. Jordan, are you? Why do you this? We want to see. That's what makes them choose you for Black Stars. No, it's not knowledge, oh. It's not wisdom. Almost every race have these five determinants. And when it comes to the ministry, look at your skill. When you preach, everybody sleeps. When you preach, people don't come back. They don't want to come there again. When you minister, you lack the skill, the art of even handling people. I tell you, your whole ministry depends on developing a skill. The man who does my screen, He's very skillful.
Yes. I don't even need to prepare to preach anymore. He's just, when he's present, I don't need to know scriptures. Scriptures will be appearing. I don't have to mention, neither do I have to know. Yes, it appears. Skill. It makes people choose you. So, I want this guy. I like the way he does this. So as you go out of here, these are the determinants of life. Before time and chance comes in, or before the anointing steps in. Yes. Time and chance is almost like set aside all these things and move on. But before that, in the natural order of things, it's going to be those who are fast. If you are young here and God has called you, the faster you enter, the faster you are in, the faster you do everything God has, the faster you read, the faster you understand, the faster you listen. The race for marriage. It belongs to those who are fast in understanding what marriage is and what it is not. In Ephesians, it says that Christ is the savior of the body. Christ is the savior. Husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church, and is the savior of the body. Do you see? Yes. He's the savior of the body. Yes. No, he's here himself. Yes. He's the savior of your body. Many wives don't realize that their husband is their savior. Like you are loving them and you are their savior. You save them from loneliness in the house. You save them from barrenness. You save them from desolation. They don't even realize it. Very proud. So the faster you get it, the faster you may be chosen to marry. I have so many ladies, not so many, but some. Now they've understood it. But now they are almost so late. There are few people who can marry them. And some are also not happy in marriage. For years, and yet they will not understand anything till they are old or almost on a drip, in a coma. That the savior has come. They don't see them. Oh, but I would have married somebody out of there. We beg. It's okay. Sorry. Amazing. So, speed, eh? There are two types of people that are married. Those who are fast to understand. Just become peaceful. And those thinking too much, talking Spanish. It's okay. Can never be happy.
Yeah.
You are doomed never to be happy in this life. Be strong. Go and be strong. Yes. Go and be strong. Be strong. When I called Prophet Kakra, he had a very big church in Kumasi. I told him, move to Accra. You see, I'm strong. I said, move. You have a clinic, you have a move. I know. Just come. My father-in-law called my mother-in-law and said, Dad, Infante is a very wise man. Yes. If you are not strong, you cannot be a leader of a big. Your church has to be small because you are weak. Yes. You have to be able to counsel people. Counsel somebody, and you start crying. So you know that he has met an iron. Are you listening or you are going home? Wise. No, I will tell you something. I'll tell you something. Don't be offended. Wise is how you think. That's all. If you like, don't think of any other depth. How your mind works. Yes. How you think. Mostly how you think about things. And when you think in a certain way, it generates poverty. Always. When you think in a certain way, it generates riches. Yeah. It's how you think. Your thinking is upgrading in Jesus' name. And then understanding. Deeper. Deep. 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 Yes. Years ago, I met Benny Hinn. And I never understood anything he was preaching. But when I showed them preaching to others, they understood immediately. And I always wondered, hey, how do you understand Benny Hinn? Today, most of them are not preaching what he's preaching. But I preach many of the things that he preached. Even today, I've preached some of the things that I learned from him. Because the learning of what I learned from him was not something shallow. It's deep. Deep. Well, if you see, you think that it's slow, but it's actually, it's not that it's slow, but it's going deep before you see a word coming out. And then favor to men of scale. Today marks the beginning of your high level scale in ministry. Scale in ministry. Scale in everything you do. Scale your skill, your art, your ability. This is the day of a change of your oil in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet, everybody. Father, thank you for the blessing of today. Thanks for the blessing of your holy word. We are grateful. And we receive the grace from today to walk with new oil, to bear fruit even in our old age. To be fat and flourishing like palm trees in a place that nothing works. Thank you that it will work for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Receive speed. Receive strength. Receive wisdom. Receive understanding. Receive skill. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hand and thank God that it's happening in your life right now. Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks. We give you glory. We give you honor. We are grateful. You have done wonderful things for us. Put your hand on your heart. Let me pray. Father, let a new change of oil be poured upon everyone here. Receive new oil, fresh grace for your life, for your ministry, for your calling. God has done it for you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody shouted amen. God bless you.